we're up to a Rashi. And that's actually, we have one Rashi left over from last year, and then we'll move back to the Rashis that we'll discuss in Yirtz Hashem today. We were discussing last time the concept of Eid Zomim, Machokas, Rabbi Akiva, Lachamim, whether the payment of Eid Zomim is Mamon or it's a Knas. And the Gemara gives a nafgamina that Eid Zomim ain Meshalmin al pi atzmam, that Moda biknas pater. And Rashi wants to give an ukimta. Where do we find that in the world of Eid Zomim? That the world of Eid Zomim, Lachora, is created by Eidim. And Eidim are the anathema to the concept of Moda biknas being pater. So exactly what is going on? So Rashi gives us a two-stage scenario. Kugum. Im huzmu bebezdin zev lo hispik bal hadin lehaamidan bedin ule tov'an. That the Eidim had come to testify their false testimony. Then they were contradicted, the manu hayisim, by another set of Eidim in one bezdin. And before we had an opportunity to create the punishment of Kasher Zamam, Holchu lemakom acher, they skipped town. They went from New York to Eretz Yisrael, and they came into a bezdin in Yerushalayim. V'hodu sham bebezdin v'amru, huzamnu bebezdin shel ploni. In other words, they went and they said that they had spoken false testimony, but not just that, but that they were muzam, that they are Eidim Zomim, then Peturim. Then there is not going to be an Onesh of Kasher Zomim, and this is the source that Eid Zomim is a Knas, and Moda B'Knas is Pater. Over here, the Tosus Rib asks the obvious question, the Kasher Lituva B'Hai Perusha. He quotes the Mora, he quotes Rashi, word for word, kasha lituva hai perusha shela achar shehi idu edim bebezdin yipater behoda aso. The whole concept of moda biknas patur is in a situation where the hoda precedes the coming of edim. The hoda preempts the edus from coming. The Gemara later on, I'm sorry, and daf ayin hey amud aleph has a question: what if Ra'a Eidim Memashmashin Ubayim? What if you see? What if the I'm sorry, the individual who did the avera saw the Eidim coming to testify, and he ran in ahead of them and he testified? Do we view that as being a moda biknas? Because clearly the hoda was not motivated by some inner desire to put things, straighten things out on the table, but a fear that if I don't grab the opportunity, then in 1 minute it'll be too late for me to be moda. But if the Edom actually came, he missed the boat, so then there's no din of moda biknas pator. So what's going on by us? Achar sheb, in other words, ra Edom emashmeshinu boim v'kodem v'hoda de pator v'hola achar shebo Edom v'hidu lo. In other words, that's simply not the context of moda biknas pator. And he leaves Rashi as Sarachin. Does anyone have a direction for Rashi? He says there's no din of Moda B'Knas Pater if Edom already came. The whole din of Moda B'Knas Pater is when you, your admission preempts the need of Edom coming. Yes?
I don't know where he saw in Rashi that the Edom who testified against the first set of Edom that they were Zomim in, like, had testified yet. I don't see that in Rashi anywhere.
That's what Rashi says, no?
Rashi says, I don't think that, but I don't think that.
She'im huzmu bebetin zeh. Huzmu means that two Edom came and said, imanu hayisem. That's the process of huzmu. That word huzmu means that two Edom came and said about these two Edom, imanu hayisem. They turned them into Edom Zomim. They were created. The status of Eid Zomim had already been created. The punishment hadn't yet been meted out, but the status was created. And so once Eidim came, l'chora, there's no room for a world of hodah.
So if the verb was relating to them doing it themselves.
Shikru.
It would need to be in.
It would say Shashikru bebezdin ze. They lied in one court and then they ran to another court and said, "We lied." But that's not what it says. Rashi says Husmu. Husmu means that they were caught in the act, that there was already Nimaru Hayisa. So what I think, and I believe I heard this from Rav Lichtenstein many, many years ago, is that the concept of Moda Liknas Patur, the word Patur can have two meanings in the Hebrew lexicon. Patur can mean Einam Chayavim, in other words, that they are exempt. Our Patur can also mean Ein Mechayavim Atzma, that they don't obligate themselves. Namely, in other words, that we have a Patur as an exemption, and we have a Patur that they don't create an obligation. That we have normally a principle of Hoda'as Ba'aldin Kemeya Edim Dame. In the world of Dine Mamanos, if I come to court and say, I owe so-and-so $100, I now owe so-and-so $100. Without witnesses, there's no need for witnesses if I am Moda. My admission obligates me. Right? So over here, it's not just that Moda Diknas is an exemption, but my Hoda also doesn't create an obligation. My Hoda doesn't create an obligation. L'chora, the Gemara and the Tosas Rid, the Gemara and the Ayin Hev, right in the Mamash Mishim Ubaim is talking about one meaning of Hodah, and Rashi can mean the second meaning of Hodah. Namely, that in one we say, Einam Chayavim, that we have an exemption. This is only Lifnei Sheba Uedim. The Hodah is only going to exempt me from the punishment if there are no Edim in the picture. Right? But in other words, but if the Edim already testified against me, and then I say, tell the Edim, you're right, I did it, that's not going to exempt me. The exemption is only going to come if my Hodah precedes the Edim. And so Tosas Reed says, over here, the Edim preceded the Hodah. Kvar Husmu bebezden achas. There's no room for an exemption. On that, the Tosas Rid is 100% correct. But Rashi isn't talking about an exemption. Rashi over here is saying that there is no exemption in New York. In New York, where the Edom already came, then if in New York these Edom were saying, you know, you're right, we really lied, we're sorry. Okay, you're sorry, but that's not going to exempt you from your punishment. But in Eretz Yisrael, there are no Edom. In Eretz Yisrael, these two witnesses are coming and saying, we were caught as Edim Zomimim. So the question is, if we're going now to obligate them based on their testimony, that Rashi is telling us, no, we don't obligate them based on their testimony. There's no din of Hodas Baal Din Kameya Edim Dami in the world of Knas. Had they come to a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael and said, we broke someone's window in New York, Hodas Baal Din Kameya Edim Dami. If they came to Eretz Yisrael and they said, we stole someone's property in California, then Hodas Baldin Kameya Edim Dami. But if they're coming to a Bezdin and say, we were caught being Edim Zomimim, then because we're dealing with the Knas, you don't obligate yourself. This rule of Hodas Baldin Kameya Edim Dami doesn't apply to Knas. Okay? In other words, we're dealing in two different contexts. One is a question, do I have an exemption? So we say post-Edim, there's no exemption. But the other is a question, am I obligating myself with my Hoda'ah? That, in other words, we say that is what, in the world of Knas, you can't obligate yourself with your Hoda'ah. Yes?
Does the Beis Din in New York have a cough to come after them if they fled to L.A.?
You're asking what would be the next stage? In other words, could the bit what? That's all that Rashi said. All Rashi pointed out is that we don't say, in other words, had Edom Zomim been mammon, had it been like breaking a window, had it been like stealing, then by their saying in Yerushalayim, we were found to be Edom Zomim, okay, now you're chayev. Hadas baldin kameh Edom Dami. That we don't say. You're 100% correct that the Beis Din in New York would then send to Yerushalayim, we Edom already came. Okay, that's a different issue. But the question is, until the Beis Din in New York gets their act together, maybe they won't get their act together. Maybe this is a Beis Din of the religious Zionists, and this is a Beis Din of the Haredim. They don't talk to one another. I don't know. Rashi is always telling us is that had this been Mammon, then the moment that they said we were turned into Zomamim, Hodas Baal Adin Kmei Edim Dami, they would have been Chayev. But because it's a Knas, they're Pater, namely that we can deal with this on two planes. Again, it's not my chiluk. Rebbe Klinstein made it. I think it makes a lot of sense. Otherwise, we really don't understand Rashi, how we could give a nukinta, which is against the Gemara, in Daf Ayin Hey.
And that would suggest that it's a knas.
What?
In other words,
a knas means that if you precede the Edim to court, the Edim are on their way, and you precede them, you have an exemption. And a knas means that if there are no Edim in the picture, and simply you come, and you admit, even though had it been Mammon, Hodas Baal Din Kamei Edim Dami, we don't say Hodas Baal Din Kamei Edim Dami.
I found Sixos of Hoshem.
You found?
It's Sixos of Hoshem. This is what we're saying in Sixos of Hoshem. He doesn't talk about Rashi and the Rid. He talks about a Bach in Hoshem Mishpat who seems to follow this halacha regarding the different cases of Yom Zoramim, and his brother-in-law had a kind of like, what the Bach talking about, if they already, and the answer is the same answer.
Baruch Shekiva. Okay, this said. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Publishers of my Gemara who have a note here that said, what did this go so
Wonderful, okay. Wonderful. Okay, so, I don't know, the fact that it's been said is a good raya that it's true. So. Okay, good, yes?
Why can't we say for Rashi that once he goes to the new Beis Din, he's being Marshia himself from the beginning again? Because in their eyes, he's a totally innocent guy?
Yes.
Why can't we just say
that? I think we just said that. That's what we just said, I think.
Is what you're saying that it's not necessarily a function of Knas, it's more just a function of the fact that you can't be Marshia yourself?
No, but the halacha is that in Mammon, we say Hodoas Baldi Kmeidim Dami. In the world of Isurim, we say Ein Adam Marshia Es Atzmo. Right, that's the principle. You can't incriminate yourself. That's in the world. I come to court and I say I killed someone. We don't view you as a murderer. Ein Adam Marshia Es Atzmo. Rabbi Lamb was quoted in the Supreme Court of America for the principle of that you can't Miranda. That was in other words, you can't be. Be incriminated by your own confession. That's in the world of an act in the world of nefashos. But in the world of mamonos, we have the opposite principle. Hodas baal din kamei ha'edim dami. You can incriminate yourself in the world of mamonos. Okay. Tov, let's go back if possible to Daf Dalad Amud Beis. We saw the list of the 24 Avos Nezikin of Rabbi Chiya, and that list included three situations that are found in a Mishnah in Gittin: Hametame, Hamedameya, veHamenasech. The combination of these three in one Mishnah is only brought up on Daf Heyamad Aleph. What's the common denominator of Hametame, Hamedameya, veHamenasech? What kind of hezek are they? This is what's called a hezek she'eno nikar, a halachic hezek, not a physical hezek. And there is a question as to how do we view hezek she'eno nikar. Do we say shmei hezek or lav shmei hezek? But even if we say hezek she'eno nikar, lav shmei hezek, even if we want to make a distinction between physical damage, hezek, and halachic damage, hezek sheno nikar, that's all on a doraisa plane. But midrabanan, we have a knas, we have a fine, even in a case of hezek she'eino nikar. That's the context of the Mishnah over there. In Gittin, that's why it says, hametamim sebeach v'menasech b'shogeg pater b'mezit chayev. Namely, assuming that hezek she'eino nikar lav shmei hezek, but it's a knas, the knas they only made when the individual did this spitefully. He was metame someone else's truma in order to hurt the person. But if it was an accident, there's no reason to fine someone for an accident. Had it hezek she'eino nikar been hezek, my nafgamina shogeg or mezid. We saw Adam Hamazik is always chayav, vein shogeg, vein mezid, vein onus, vein ratzon. Okay, so the common denominator over here is we're dealing with a halachic hezek. You don't see anything in the wine or in the wheat or in the grain that would indicate that there's a hezek. But halachically, that which could previously have been eaten or eaten by everyone now can only, now it's much more limited, it's lost value, etc., etc. Beseder? That's the common denominator. So on the world of Menasech, we have a machlokes amoraim between Rav and Shmuel. What does Menasech mean? Classically, Menasech means, with the fancy word, is to libate, I guess it's a verb. In other words, if one pours wine for in an act of avodah zara, an act of idolatry, that's considered to be make the wine yayin nesech. Then that yayin becomes forbidden in any benefit asur v'hana'a on a doraisa plane. However, and that's one day over here. Is that what this individual did? That he, in other words, doesn't have to necessarily be pouring the wine. If you cause the wine to move, shikshake, you know, simply you put your hand in and you stir the wine, as that's already enough. If your kavana is for avodah zara, to turn this wine into yayin nesach. So that's the shita of Rav. And what does Shmuel say? What is niseh menasech? What's the case?
Iruv.
That you poured some yayin previous yayin nesach into wine, and there's no way of separating. You have a taroves. This taroves is now forbidden to drink, and that's the issue over here. Let's assume for the time being that's the issue over here. So Rashi summarizes the sugya partially. Menasech yayin la'avodah zara, ubemeseches gitin mefaresh, amai lo kam le midrava mine. In other words, that generally, when you do an act on which you're chayav misa, and worshipping avodah zara is an act of being chayav misa, then there is not going to be any punishment for any monetary loss that you caused, for any nezik that you caused in the course of that act. And over here, the act of being menasech is an act on which you're chayav misa. So why would we speak, even in the world of mezid, of there being a payment? Don't we say, kamay midrabim minei? So Rashi just says, if you're bothered by that issue, look in Gittin. Okay. So we look in Gittin, and what do we see? What is the explanation of Rav? Why really is why does Rav say there's no kama midrav minei over here?
Because it's two separate acts, not
shot. Because we lack a vas achas. In order to have kama midrav minei, we have to have a simultaneity between the chi of misa and the chi of mamon. And over here, what point is there a chi of mamon?
When he picks it up.
When he picks it up. And at what point is there a chi of misa? When he actually pours it, and so we have a disconnect, and so you're chayev mamon for the act of lifting it, and you're chayev misa for the act of pouring. Fine. That's what Rashi sent us to look at. But what Rashi doesn't explain is that why does Shmuel disagree with Rav? Why does Shmuel say that menasech means ma'arev? What bothered Shmuel over there in the Gemara? Manda amar ma'arev, my time ago amar menasech. Amar le, menasech, kam le, midrabim minei. So what's going on over here? Rashi says, if you want to understand why it's not coming midrabim, look in the Gemara over there. But that's one side of the equation, right? That's what the Gemara says. Ki rav yirmi, amar rav yirmi, mishasak ba'u dekonem, ischai v'nash, l'aveyat shas nisuch. However, there's also Shmuel, and Shmuel holds this is kam le, midrabim minei. What kind of machlokis is there over here between Rav and Shmuel? Is there simultaneity or is there not simultaneity? Isn't that a question of reality? Either there is or there isn't. I mean, what kind of machlok is there over here? So if Rashi over here doesn't get involved in that, he just says, if you want to know why there's no Kama Midrabbin, you look over there. But when you look over there, you see that it's not so pashut that there's no Kama Midrabbin. That's Rav's understanding. But Shmuel says there is Kama Midrabbin. So this is really a Gemara that I sent you to later on in Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama wanted to understand Shmuel. So if you look together on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, so the first wide line of the Gemara says, "Meikara savre k'rabi Avin ulabasof savre k'rabi Yirmiyah." That we have really a machlokes amoraim between Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Yirmiyah. "Meikara savar k'rabi Avin." At first, we thought like Rabbi Avin. "Damar Rabbi Avin zarak chetz mitchilat arba lasof arba." That if you're shooting an arrow in Rishus HaRabim, and you're shooting this arrow four amos. Now, if you shoot an arrow four amos in Rishus HaRabim, what is the halacha? Chayav what? Chayav Misa, right? That's a malacha. That to cause an object to move four amos in Rishus HaRabim, if you carry it, or if you throw it, or if you shoot it, you're a chayav. However, what happens if Karashi Ra'in Bahalicha? So, if in the course, you know, if you shoot an arrow, someone had hung their laundry out, and your arrow goes through the person's shirt. There's a shirt hanging on the line, and you shot the arrow. It goes through someone's shirt and hits the target. So we say, you're chayav misa, but what about paying for the shirt? Do you also pay for the shirt? So Rav Avin says, patur, shehare akira tzorech hanachahu, umischayev benafsha. That in this situation, even though, if we'll ask, at what point are you chayav misa? When the arrow hits the target. When did it tear the shirayim? On the way. But Rabbi Avin says that's irrelevant, right? You're going to be chayav misa. That's the svara of Shmuel. Ubesof savik Rav Yirmiyah. I'm Rav Yirmiyah. Mishas hagba'a kanya. Ichayev le'mamon mischayev. Sorry, mishas hagba'a kanya. Ichayev le'mamon mischayev benafsha lo have ad she'as nisuch. That Rav Yirmiyah says that in the world of Nisuch, we say that we look at the timeline, and in the timeline, the Chi of Mammon precedes the Chi of Misa. So the question, what exactly is going on over here? The Gemara links up Shmuel with Rabbi Avin, and links up Rav with Rav Yirmiyah. That Rabbi Avin says that when we have a case of Hotsa'as, Dalad Amos, Birshus HaRabim, and this is also, and the Emtsa, in the middle of the Dalad Amos, Yezachi of Nezek, he says, this is Kamleib Midrabamine. Rabbi Yirmiyah says that if we have a case of Nisuch Yayin, and we have a Hagbaha, in other words, we have a case of Nisuch Yayin and a Hagbaha, so there's no Kamleib Midrabamine. Because the Hagbah precedes the Nisuch. Now, in both of these cases, we have a certain disconnect between the Chi of Mamon and between the Chi of Misa. And so Rav says, in this case, because of the disconnect, there's no Kamei Midrabinei. Shmuel says, even though there's a disconnect, there is Kamei Midrabinei. In other words, what do we do in such a situation? How do we understand what's going on? Is there a machlokas, Rav Yirmiyah and Rabbi Avin?
Do we compartmentalize the action, or do we view it as one long action? Because you need one without the other. Talks about it.
Okay, so over here we say Akira Sorech Hanacha. And over here, according to Rav Yirmi, we say Hagbaha Eino Sorech Nisuch. Right? This is what you're saying, David. In other words, that there is a difference in terms of the relationship between the different stages that we have over here. That Rabbi Oven says that in the world of Hotzos Arba Amos, we have a certain interrelationship between the beginning and the end, while Rav Yirmiya says that may be true in the world of Hotzos Amos, but here we're talking about Nisuch Hayayin, and he holds that Hagba Eino Tzarech Nisuch, we don't have that same interconnection. Can someone take all of this and put it in a conceptual framework and tell me what we have over here? What are the categories that we're dealing with? And of course, on this, Shmuel disagrees, right? That this is Rav's understanding, and on this understanding, Shmuel would disagree. This is Rav, and this is Shmuel. Well, what's going on over here? Let's try and understand. Akira Tzorach Hanacha. You have over here a person shooting an arrow, and there's a timeline, right? And a space line. And over here it hits the target. This is the Akira. This is the Hanacha. And over here you have a distance of 4 amos. If we're going to ask, on what are you Chayav Misa? At what point in time are you Chayav Misa? What would Rabbi Ovin say? What? Here you're Chayav Misa?
Yes.
You haven't done anything yet, huh?
That's the famous Nimuch Yosef.
I understand. We're going to Isha Mishon Chitzah. We'll get to that, etc. In other words, we're viewing this as an act of the individual, right? We're viewing it as the act of the individual. But I'm saying, let's say this takes place over here at 12 noon. And this takes place at 12 noon and 5 seconds. And at 12 noon and 3 seconds, that's when the shirt was torn. At what point am I Chayav Misa, according to Rabbi Oven?
After the shirt was ripped. The minute it left your hand. The minute, I guess, the ball was traveling.
I'm Chayav Misa over here, so then again I have a disconnect between my Chayav Misa and my Chayav Mama.
Over the whole period.
That Rabbi Oven is Mechadish to us, that we have over here a halachic, take a phrase from a man, a halachic process. What we call in Hebrew, tahalich hilchati. That we don't have a point of chiyuv. We have a process. I am chayev for the process. I am chayev for the process that begins at 12 and ends at 12:05. And therefore, anything that happens between 12 and 12:05 is considered to be vasachas. Namely, I have a broadened bevasachas because my chiyuv is for a beginning, a middle, and an end. In other words, I'm chayuv for doing an akira, having it fly 4 amos, and then having it land. So anywhere within these five seconds that there were to be a chiyuv mamon, that's kamle b'drabamine. That's what Rabbi Oven is saying. What is Rav Yirmiya telling us in the case of Nisuch Hayayin? I don't have a halachic process. I have a physical process. I can't pour without lifting. Right? The only way I can pour is by lifting. But that is simply a physical reality that I can't pour without lifting. But there's no connection between them. I'm only chayev at the moment of Nisuch. I'm chayev, and let's assume that the lifting was at 12 and the pouring was at 12:05. Again, we're talking about seconds, not minutes. Right? If the lifting were at 12 and the Nisuch is at 12:05, I'm chayev at 12:05. Hagbah eino tzarech Nisuch. We don't view it as a process if what brings the process in is not a halachic concern of Akira Tzarech Hanacha. We're not dealing over here with a mechayev that has segments. We're talking about a point in time. Nisu Chayayin is that point in time. That which recurs before it is simply a physical reality that I have a process, but it's not a halachic process. Comes along Shmuel and he says, no, in this case you do have Kama Midrav Mine. That's exactly, Shmuel disagrees with Rav and Rav Yirmiyah. What does Shmuel tell us? Not only is a halachic process going to be a process, but even according to Shmuel, we'll say that Nisuch, that Hagvat Sarach Nisuch, that not only a halachic process is a process, but even a necessary physical process is a process. If I can't be Menasek without lifting, then lifting is part of that process of my Kiyuv. That's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is that everyone agrees with Rabbi Oven that a tahalich hilchati, that halachic process is a process. What if we don't have a halachic process? What if we have a tahalich mitziyuti, simply a physical process? In the physical world, I can't pour without lifting. Does that have halachic implications? According to Rav, no. According to Rav Yirmiyah, no. But according to Shmuel, yes. According to Shmuel, if in the physical world I can't pour without lifting, then lifting is the beginning of my pouring. And then the Vas'achas is from 12 to 1205. Okay, so the machlokas then that Rashi is hinting at is a machlokas in terms of how do we define a process? Do we define a process anytime something is necessary? Or do we say a process is only if something is halachically necessary? That which is simply physically necessary, that doesn't turn it into a process. Yes?
Did Rebbe mention a couple of minutes ago that you don't have to lift up the wine to do Nisuch?
No, just I said you do have to lift the wine to do
it. Stirring doesn't do it.
What? You have to lift the wine to stir. In other words, you have to do something. In other words, but the shikshuk required that the cask be in some way lifted in order to be able for the shikshuk, in order to be able to do the stirring. So in any case, what we have over here is a very helpful, I think, definitions of a vasachas. Vasachas, simultaneity can sometimes be a point in time. Simultaneity can sometimes be a period of time. Difference is if we have a process. The question is, what defines a process? That which is required halachically, or that which is needed even from a physical perspective. I just want to, yes?
Is there a gather on how long the halachic process can be?
No. The gather is, in other words, if let's say over here, we're not talking about an arrow, but we're talking about a missile that is shot at 12, and the missile flies in the air for a half hour, and then it lands. So that half hour would be the Akira Tzarech Hanacha. And if in the course of that half hour the missile bumped into a balloon, you know, or whatever, and destroyed it, a dirigible, or you know, where it's the Zeppelin, right? If it were to be hit by the missile in the course of the missile's going, so then that would be a vasachas. That would be a vasachas. Namely, it's a question as to not a question in terms of quantity of time. It's a question: are we talking about a point of chiyuv, or are we talking about a process of chiyuv? So, just to point out that even though it appears now to be like very, very clear, it's not as clear as we're making it. I'm just going to fill you in on Reb Chaim. It's Reb Chaim Mipi Ashmua, but it's a very powerful Reb Chaim. We have a concept in Halacha not only of carrying something for Amos Birshus HaRabim as being Hotza'a, but also moving something from Rishus to Rishus is also Hotza'a. Taking something from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim is Hotza'a. From Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. There you also require an Akira in one Rishus and a Hanacha in another Rishus. We have a Gemara a little later on Daf Ayin Amud Beis. The Gemara on Daf Ayin Amud Beis is dealing with the world of Arba V'Chamisha, that if someone steals a shor or a seh, and he does a second act. After he steals it, he's either toveach or mocher. He either shechs it or he sells it. Then, instead of being chayev only kefel, he's now chayev arba v'chamisha. So the Gemara says that if the person in the course of the sale were to be over a malacha of Shabbos, that would exempt him from Dalet Vehe. Kamlei b'derabba minei. The sale itself is not a malacha da'araisa. The sale itself is not going to be chayev misa. But if you can come up with a case where you're going to have a simultaneity between the sale and Chilul Shabbos, we'd have kamlei b'derabba minei. So the Gemara gives the following scenario. That here we have a person who steals this animal. Okay, this is the animal. Okay? And he wants to sell it to the person. This is Reuven. And he wants to sell it to Shimon, who lives on the other side of the fence. And Shimon says, throw it into my yard, and I'll be kona it with my yard. And that will, in that way, you sold it to me. Namely, that you're selling it to me will be by throwing it into the yard. So here we have an akira. Here we have a hanacha. And at what point does the sale take place?
In the meantime.
What?
At some point in the meantime.
Still in the air?
So the sale, what point was
that?
That normally the sale takes place the moment that it's in the chatzer. It's in the chatzer, namely, when it goes over the fence. When it goes over the fence, it's in the chatzer. So over here, the sale takes place. So the question is, do we have over here kamlei midrabamine? So Gemara says, if I'll make a condition that the sale will only take place when it hits the ground, then we have akira tzarach hanacha. Then we have over here a situation where we have a simultaneity. That if I'll make a condition that even though normally something is transferred the moment something is in the airspace of the chatzer, However, we don't want there to be a kinyan until it actually hits the ground. So if we can make a condition that it's going to hit the ground, then when it hits the ground, we have two things. We have a chiyuv of Shabbos, and we have a kinyan. Then we say, kamlei b'derabba minei. There's no dalet vehei. So Tosus over there says, that's very, very nice according to Rav Yirmiyah, maybe, but not according to Rabbi Yovan. According to Rabbi Yovan, we have over here a halachic process. We saw it begins with Akira, it ends with Hanacha. So, any time that we're going to have a Chiyuv Mamon anywhere in this, we should have a Ptur. Why do you have to come on to a condition? And Tosfos says, you're right. According to Rav Yirmiyah, there is no need for any condition. Okay, very. According to Rabbi Yovan, there's no need for any condition. Beautiful. That's what we've just pointed out. The moment you have a halachic process, there's no need for any conditions. When we open up a Rambam, if you look over here, the Rambam says in Hilchos Geneva, Perek Gimel Achabez, Ketzad, Perek Gimel Achabez, Song HaKomim Midravinei. When do we say Komim Midravinei? Zarak Chetz B'Shabbos Mitchilas Arba L'Sof Arba V'Kara Beged Chavera B'Halichoso. This is exactly the case of Rabbi Yovan. Oh, Hidlik Godish Chavera B'Shabbos, O Gonav Kis B'Shabbos, in all of these cases, when you have a simultaneity, and we say that the simultaneity is the halachic process of akira tzarach hanacha. Three halachos later, the Rambam says, ganav, someone who steals, shemachar b'shabbos obachar la'avodazara, the fact that you sold something on Shabbos ain the mechira misa. That doesn't mean you're chayav misa. Mechira is an isur drabana. However, im naaseis malacha b'Shabbos beis hamechira, potter midalad vehei. That's the Gemara daf ayinam at beis. Ketzad kagon shelo hiknalo ad shetanuach v'chatzar halokeach nimsa kishehotzi mirishus lirishus isur Shabbos u'mechira boim ka'achas. The Rambam quotes the Gemara verbatim on daf ayinam at beis. And Tosa says that Gemara is unnecessary according to Rabbi Ovid. And three halachos earlier, the Rabbi passed him to Rabbi Ovid. Then once you speak about halachic process, we don't need a condition, it's only going to be yours when it hits the ground. Any time that you're going to have between the Akira and a Hanacha, a Chi of Mammon, that's going to be called simultaneous. So why does Rambam toss in this phrase, toss in this condition? So there's Reb Chaim, Ipi Ashmua, who says, not everything that appears to be a halachic process is a halachic process. There's a difference between carrying four amos in Rishus Harabim and Ha'avara, Yirishus, Lirishus. Then we have two situations in Hilchos Shabbos that are very, very similar to one another. In both of them, you have to begin. In both of them, you have to require an Akira. In both of them, you have to end. You require a Hanacha. In one of them, you have to carry a distance of four amos. In the other, you have to go over a boundary. But they're halachically totally different. Havaras arba amos rishus sarabim, carrying four amos rishus sarabim, that's a halachic process. Every moment of the carrying is part and parcel of the process. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Masha'ein kein, when you move from rishus to rishus, there is only one nekuda. It's only a question of points in time. That, in other words, the points in time that count actually are the Akira, the crossing the Rubicon, and the Hanacha. We don't view it as a halachic process. We have three points in time that are important. If at any of those three points in time there's going to be a simultaneity, that would become a midrabba minute. Namely, not everything that has a beginning and a middle and an end is going to be a process. Sometimes it's going to be one long bevas achas. Sometimes we're going to require that, in other words, that it has to hit at one of the points of the chiyuvim, but nothing more than that. Just pointing out that you can have a similar terminology in Shas, Akira Tzorach Hanacha, but it means one thing in the world of carrying four amos, it means something else in the world of going mirishus lirishus. This is an issue that, you know, it's if one's learning Hilchos Shabbos, and one's learning the first parak of Shabbos that deals with the world of carrying, is an open question as to whether these two Isurim are one and the same or not. That some Rishonim view that why is carrying up to four amos from Rishus Rabin permissible? Because it's like you're in your own Rishus. And when you go four amos, it's like you're carrying Rishus Lirishus. It's like you're going from your own private Arba Amos to a more public Arba Amos. Then this distinction certainly would not make sense. But if we say no, that these are two different worlds and they have different criteria, so in one of them we're going to have a lengthy Kam Libid Rabbi Minei, and the other one we're only going to have the points of intersection like we saw in the world of Nisuch HaYayim. Okay? The Seder. Okay, but this is what Rashi, you know, it's Rashi is giving us a tip of the iceberg by sending us to Gittin, Mefarish Amai Lo Kamei B'Drabinei. According to Rav, there is no Kamei B'Drabinei, but according to Shmuel, there is Kamei B'Drabinei, and that depends as to how we understand this world of processes, and what creates a halachic process. Is it just the pure halacha, or even the necessity of Metzius, does that also create a halachic process?
That was all within the Rambam, though, right?
What?
Perhaps Rashi would disagree like Tosfos.
Correct. Right. In other words, this I'm just putting on the side, just you should be aware that there is such a Rambam. I think, if not mistaken, it's quoted, the Reb Chaim is quoted by the Evan Ha'azel, by Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer, over there in Hilchos Geneva. It's also in the Reb Chaim B'Pi HaShmua. It's not in the classic Reb Chaim on the Rambam. Okay, but just to understand, in the world of Nisuch HaYayim, let's say according to Rav, what is the chiyuv mamon that you are chayiv? Why, in other words, for libating wine, you're chayiv misa. Over here, what is the chiyuv mamon that Reuven owes Shimon? Under what category is it? Yes. What? So, in other words, in the Gemara over there, in Gittin, it's clear, that's what Rashi points out, the Agbaha, Rashi says, Amanat Legozla, that this individual wants to steal the wine from his friend and lifts it, and then he pours it, he libates it. The Chi of Mammon is one of Gezel. In our Gemara, when we speak about Menasech, Medamea, Metame, what Chi are we talking about? Gezel? Nezek. Right? Where this is the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya, Esrim Va'arba Avos Nezikin Ninhu. We're saying that if a person is Metame someone else's Truma, if he's Medamea someone else's Truma, if he's Menasech someone else's wine, he is Chayev as a Mazik. So what's going on over here? Is it Gezel or is it Mazik? And it's what simply, how am I hurting him? Am I hurting him because I want to steal it? And it happens they're going to be Chayev Misa, according to Rav, a few seconds after I steal it, but I'm Chayev for stealing it, Agba Manas Lugosla, or am I Chayev for being Mazik his wine, that now his wine is Aser Bahana? What over here is the issue? Yes?
Just clarify,
did you say
that
Medama
is
Nezek,
or?
All three. Metame, Medameya, Menasech. These are three of the 24 Avos Nezikin.
But
Rabbi's
saying
that
in Gittin, it says it's Gittin.
And that's, you see it in front of your eyes, right? In other words, Rashi says over there, the Agbanaha Almanas Legosla. That's how Rashi learns over there. But our sugya over here is saying that the nezek is that the wine is not drinkable. Is this a stira?
And if you say it's nezek, shouldn't kimle apply? Isn't it more simultaneous than before? Because the nezek happens when you're doing the nezek.
I mean, lechora, this is the right. In other words, the lechora that you know, words how does. Right. In other words, clearly, in order to obviate kimle, we have to posit that it's gezel. Otherwise, we have a problem of kimle, even according to Rav Lechora, very much correct. I mean, in other words, that Rashi wrote that over there in order to explain the Gemara there. But that's the Gemara that we have over here. In other words, over here, these three. That's Rashi sending us there. Rashi is sending us to Gittin. So let me just explain to you the following. Scenario. Let's say, you know, is that we have a person who has a very extensive collection of wine. And he has, there's an individual who's very, very jealous of him and wants to hurt him. So what does he do? He goes into this individual's wine cellar, picks up a bottle of wine, and then he pours it into another bottle, L'shem Avodah Zarah. Okay? And then the alarm goes off and he's caught. And so, you know, the owner says, that bottle of wine cost $500, you owe me $500. So what does this Gazlan say? He says, Haresha Chalafanecha, here's the wine. Here's the wine. So the owner says, but now it's worthless. You poured it for Avodah Zarah. It's Aser Bahana. So he says, Haresha Chalafanecha, this is the wine. This is the wine. So, is this a case of Gezel, or is this a case of Mazik, or is this a case of both? That's our case. This is our case. It's the equivalent what we have in the Gemara Masechet, Gozel Chametz V'Avar Lav HaPesach. What if you steal someone's warehouse of Chametz, and Pesach passes by, and now this entire warehouse is worthless, and when you're caught, you say, HaReisha Chalafanecha, there's the warehouse, it's there, it's full of Chametz, take it back. And the fellow is screaming, but you caused me this tremendous loss. That over here is what we're talking about. This is the avmazik of Menasef. This is what we call the hezek she'eino nikar. This is, you know, it's the warehouse is there, but there is a damage. There's a halachic damage. Okay, so you can have this a case which is both gazlan and mazik. It's gazlan, the person had wanted that the gezel would take place. When he was caught in the act, he wanted to say Haresha Chalaf Anecha, but now already it's worthless. And so we view this as mazik as well. Yes?
If it wasn't worthless, would it still be mazik?
No, the mazik.
He gave it back.
He didn't give it back. That's the question. Is he giving it back or not giving it back? In other words, the fact that he's giving back the same wine, but in the process of stealing it, what he did was he made this wine worthless. So in terms of a heshiv esagzela, maybe he gave back the wine. But we have over here mazik. We have over here damage. Forget about the wine. There's the value of the wine that is at stake over here. Okay, so you can have, there's no stira between setting up the case there as Rashi did on Manat L'Gozlo, because that prevents the Kamay B'Drabba Mineh, and still being able to speak about Menasech as being a mazik. Right? In other words, the two go hand in hand. Yes?
In what sense are we saying that it is Gezel?
Excuse me?
In what sense are we saying that this case is Gezel?
It's his kavana, when he lifted it, was to be a gazlan, and so at that point he became chayav, and the nisuch was a later point. I mean, there's no simultaneity between the chi of Misa and the chi of Mammon, according to Rav. That's what Rav
intended to just take it.
What?
He originally intended to just take it home.
He intended to steal it and be menasech it. If you want to.
Why would he be menasech it?
What?
Why would he be menasech it if he was
going to. Kind of that even if he'd be caught, still the fellow would lose his money.
Okay.
Whereas he wanted to do a double whammy. He wanted to steal it and to make it worthless. And so when he's caught, he wants now to say, Haresha chalaf anecha. I have a mitzvah, heshiv esagzela asher gazal. Here's the wine. I'm giving it back. The question is this the wine? Right? That's the din of mazik. But the din of mazik is that this is not the wine that you stole. The wine that you stole was worth $500. This purple liquid is worth nothing. In other words, it's not the wine that you stole. It's yayin nesach. It doesn't have any value. Okay? Adkan, the beginning of Rashi. Let's continue reading in Rashi. Metame midameya menasech loksive behedya. In other words, Rashi over here is bothered to call them mazikin. So we have a principle, hezek shenonik or shmei hezek. We can call them mazikin. We can say over here, these are acts of damage. But to be an av mazik, what do you require? Has to be bekrai. It has to be in the pasuk. That's what Rashi began, that these are avos nazikin, that they are bekrai, that we have psukim for all of them. Right? Rashi pointed that out a little bit above. Avos, Rashi, about a third of the way down in the thin lines, kari lahanach zekzivim dekra. So Rashi over here says, how are they avos nezikim? Metami b'damei menasech lo ksive behed. You're that black line of the pasuk. Afilu hachi havi avos. Still we can call them avos. Dibichlal nezek hein. Because they are forms of damage. And when you damage someone's property, nezek mamon ksiv betorah, makei nefesh behema yishalmena. So we're going to subsume them under the world of Nezek in order to be able to call them Avos Nezikim. Then Rashi continues with a line that raises everyone's eyebrows. Umenasech es hayayin leka lemeimar shenischo biyayin nesech shezorak bo. In other words, don't understand that the menasech of this Mishnah in Gittin, which is quoted over here, is a case where you mixed yayin nesech into regular wine. The lo kamachasre v'lo mide. That would not be a loss to the owner. The hamizben le bar midame yayin nesech shavo. That were that to be the case, namely you had a liter of kosher wine, and you poured in 10 drops of yayin nesech, and now this is a liter and 10 drops, okay? Let's say the 10 drops are a cc, a cubic centimeter. So now you have, instead of 100 cubic centimeters, which is a liter, correct? you have 101 cubic centimeters. Of those 101 cubic centimeters, 100 were kosher wine, and we have one of non-kosher wine. So Rashi says, there's no nezek over here. Kamiz bin lei, you can sell this wine to a goy, bar midbe yayin nesach shebo. You can sell this to a goy as a liter. Right? You're not allowed to get hana'a from the 10 drops. The 10 drops are a cubic centimeter. So I'm selling it, even though it's 101 cubic centimeters, I'm selling the 100 cubic centimeters to a non-Jew, and I'm giving a discount, and so there's no loss. There's no loss. And that's why this couldn't be the case. What question do you have on Rashi? Is it so obvious that Menasech in the Mishnah, in Gittin, and in Arasugya means that you're libating the wine? That's according to Rav. Everything we said up to now is according to Rav. According to Rav, there's no kamli bidraba mine. According to Rav, Menasech means libating the wine, stealing it and libating it. But according to Shmuel, we're talking about Ma'aref. This is exactly the case of the Mishnah according to Shmuel. How can Rashi just ignore Shmuel? How can Rashi say that Shmuel, lekele meimar, you can't learn like Shmuel because there is no chisaron? What do you mean there's no chisaron? Is there really no chisaron? In other words, a non-Jew is going to pay for the wine what a Jew would have paid? And like, what is going on over here? How can Rashi just cut Shmuel out of the sugya? Who is bothered by this issue? All the Rishonim we have two Rishonim were bothered by it, the Shilte Giborim and the Tosus Rid. And who attempts to give answers? The Achronim, the Maharsha, and the Pnei Yoshua, and then the 20th century Gedolim. You have the Rav, and Rav Gustman, and Rav Uchtenstein. There are three directions that we can go over here, yes? Which Gemara is assuming like Rav? The question is, why did Rashi say that when we move from Gittin to Bava Kamma, in Gittin we have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel? Generally, when we have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, how do we paskin? In what area? What? Like Rav and Isurim, like Shmuel and Mamanos. So we're talking over here about Mamanos or Isurim. What? Well, that's what? Both, really, right? In other words, they're totally ha ba ha. In any case, all the Rishonim passing like Shmuel. All the Rishonim, if you look in Ner Mishpat, in other words, so over there, the Ein Mishpat, Ner Mitzvah, in Gittin, they all put the little letter next to Shmuel's name. They pass like Shmuel, that it means Ma'arif. Yes?
Could we say that Rashi really is saying more like Shmuel? Because if we're holding like Rav, then how can you sell it to a guy if there is Meser or Zara there? But if you hold like Shmuel, and there's no Isra'na for Zara, then you could sell it to a guy.
That's also a question. What is the halacha? Rashi's assuming that when you take a dropper, and you drop drops of Yayin Nesach into regular wine, you can sell it to a goy. Is that obvious? I sent you to a Gemara. Did I print it out? Yeah, I printed it out. Look at the Meseches Avodah Zarah of Ayin Dalad Amud Aleph. Yayin Nesach Shenofal Lebor. You have Yayin Nesach that got mitarev, that fell into a bor, which is a storage area of Yayin. Kulo aser bahana'a. The Tanakama of the Mishnah says that it's all aser bahana'a. Rav Shimon Gamliel says imacher kulo lo ve'kochavim chutz min debe yayin nesach shebo. Rashi is quoting Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, right? But look at the continuity of the Gemara. Amar Rav halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel chavis bechavios. We only pass with Rav Shimon Gamliel if we're dealing with a mixture of casks. Aval yayin v'yayin, but if we're dealing with a liquid mixture, no. Ushmuel b'amar afilu yayin v'yayin, v'pasuk Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. V'chein amar Rabba bar Brachi, amar Rav Yochan, afilu yayin v'yayin. V'chein amar Rav Shmuel bar Nasa, amar Rabbi Chanina, afilu yayin v'yayin. V'chein amar Rav Nachman, amar Rav Avu, afilu yayin v'yayin. Amar Rav Nachman, halachu l'maisa, yayin nesach, yayin v'yayin, osur. chavis b'chavis muter. That we paskin like the chachamim in Yayin Nesach, that when you pour, when you have a liquid mixture, you can't sell it. It's aser. In other words, it's a machokis tanoim. So again, why is Rashi tossing Shmuel out the window? Because he says we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. A, we paskin like Shmuel. And B, we paskin like the Chachamim. Namely, everything in Rashi is very, very strange. From top to bottom, Rashi is very strange. So let's look at the Shilta Giborim and Daf Aleph Amud Beis in the Rif. Sif Katan Gimel. Namely, the Shilta Giborim is on the Rif, who quotes the Braisa Rabbi Chiya. There are 24 Avos Nezikin, including Metame, Midameya, and Menasech. The Rif doesn't get involved in explaining exactly what is Menasech. So Shilta Giborim says, Shilta Giborim is a Risha. Shilta Giborim says, Nira be'enai, shenisuch hu al echad mishnei drachim. I would have said, if you would have asked me to write a perush on the our Gemara, I would say that there are two definitions of nisuch. Oh, shenisech hayayin, mamash la'avodazara. One is libation, that's the shita of Rav. Oshi irev yayin nesech gomor b'yayin kosher, ayedeha tarovese asaro b'hana'a. And the other is like Shmuel, we're dealing with a mixture. V'chein pasku kol haposkim. All the poskim say that we should learn our Gemara on a double plane. We learn our Gemara like Rav and like Shmuel. If you pour the wine, that's mazik, and if you mix the wine, that is mazik. V'tzarech iyun b'divrei Rashi. It's very strange. Rashi hacha dochak atzmo. He painted himself into a corner. Lefarish the menasech ritzolomar shenisko levedos kochavim, and then he quotes Rashi. Avoleko lemeimar nisko biyayin nesach shezarak bo, delo kachaser velo mide, dehal mizban le bar mid biyayin nesach shebo. End quote. He quotes this Rashi and he says, mashma midvarav. It appears that what is Rashi saying? That yayin nesach im yayin kasher eino aser behana. That if you have this mixture of yayin nesach and yayin kasher, it could be sold to a non-Jew. It's not aser behana. Ihu gufe perik basra d'avodah zara. But that's a machlokis in avodah zara. And Rashi himself paskin the yayin nesach im yayin kasher aser behana v'kol shehu v'kach kasa perik hanizikin b'meseches gitin. It's very, very strange that the Gemara seems to come to the conclusion of Sechas Avodah Zarah, that even though Rav Shimon Gamliel says you can sell it, we paskin, like the Tanakama, that it has to be thrown away. V'dochak l'tareitz d'hocha b'stam yenam kamayri. It's very difficult to say that we're not talking about Yayin Nesach, but only stam yenam, which has a different halacha. Dari yadua hu di'ikar ha'mokam sheshonei bo'edim medamei ha'menasech. The makar is Meseches Gittin. It's mashma that it's real libation. Lishna nami daike, and it's our Rabbi is quoting the Mishnah, right? Metame medameya menasech. That's a quote from the Mishnah. But tzarachiyun, he leaves Rashi as I don't know why Rashi did this. In other words, what Rashi did was tell us ignore Shmuel because we passed it like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that in Shmuel's case you could sell it to a goy. Who says we pass like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? We pass in Yayin b'Yayin Aser. What pushed Rashi in this direction? In other words, that there is an inner logic in Rashi, but why go in that direction? Yes.
Why is it a dochak to say that? Because isn't that just what the Gemara says? Isn't that the Gemara Nevodazara that says that it's stam yinam?
Gemara Nevodazara says it, but our Mishnah, our Braisa of Rabbi Chiya is working off of the Mishnah in Gittin, and the Mishnah in Gittin is talking about real nisuch. Stam yinam is not nisuch. And the Gemara says that what is the word menasech mean in the Mishnah? Either nisuch mamash or ma'ariv. Nisuch mamash doesn't relate to stam yinam. So to say we're dealing with stam yinam, that takes Rav out of the picture. When you take Rav out of the picture, you're left with no one. You have neither Rav nor Shmuel. In other words, it's very... So the Shilta Giborim just says, doesn't understand Rashi. Doesn't understand what pushed Rashi. Similarly, if you look in the Tosus Rid, HaMenasech. I wrote down Tosus Rid. Kosav Amore. Okay, brings Rashi. Leko lameima she'irvo b'yayin nesach. Don't learn like Shmuel. The lokam achaser lo midei de kamiz bin lekule bar midmei yayin nesach. Because we pass the Rav Shimon Gamliel. Says the Tosfos Rid, eino nearly. I don't understand what he's talking about. The midameya name mizbin lekohanim. Self, everyone agrees that if you take someone's truma and you put, I'm sorry, you take someone's chulin, someone has a whole barrel of grain, and you mix truma into that barrel of grain. That's what we call midameya. What is the halacha now? What do you do with that barrel of grain? You sell it to a kohen. What's the price going to be? More or less, or the same as selling it to Israel? It's going to be less, because only the kohenim can eat it. So supply and demand, there's much less demand, and so the price goes down. That's called mazik. The fact that you now made this person's barrel worthless, not worthless, but worthless, right? That is mazik. And so if that is mazik, why should pouring wine into wine not be mazik? Right? Ela pseidahu, the kohenim mezalzalei bezavne. The kohenim pay less for their truma or for their dimua because of supply and demand. And so we will assume that the same thing. When you sell wine to a goy, the goy has an endless supply of wine. Kosher wine is expensive. Manischewitz is expensive. Gallo, is that what it's called? Gallo wine is cheap. You know, anyone can buy Gallo wine. It's very, very cheap. So now, Ubeperek Nezikin, Plige Be Rav Ushmuel. Rav Amar Menasech Mama, Shmuel Amar Ma'arev, V'hosa Mefarish Ta'amayu. In other words, why does Rav say not to learn like Shmuel? What does the Gemara say over there? Why did Rav say it couldn't be Ma'ariv? Because Ma'ariv is... You saw the sugi over there. L'man domer menasech, my time alama Ma'ariv, the Gemara asks. Because that's Hainu Midameya. But if Midameya is considered to be Mazik, so then Ma'ariv is Mazik. So why is Rashi over here saying that there's no chisaron? There is a chisaron. It's the same chisaron as in the world of Dimua. And the Idach, and what does Shmuel answer back? Knasahu, knasa mi knasa le'alfinon. But basically, it's parallel to Dimua. So if in Midameya we have a hefseid, why shouldn't Ma'ariv be a hefseid? Namely, the Shilti Giborim asked on Rashi, from the Gemara that Ma'ariv is really all asa. The Tosfos Rit says, even if you want to say that in Ma'ariv you could sell it, but you're going to get less money. And the moment you're going to get less money, we see from Dimua, that's Mazik. And the Gemara compares the two of them, one to the other. So how can you say that there's no loss? So the Rishonim simply throw up their arms. They have no idea what to do with Rashi. Comes along the Maharsha, and in this little one-liner, says, no problem, no sweat. What do we do with Rashi? Rashi understood, certainly, that in the Mishnah over there, we could be talking about Ma'arev, that could be an issue, but in Arba, the 24 Avos Nezikin, we're not going to bring in Ma'arev. Why? What does the Maharsha say? You look at the beginning of the Pnei Yoshua, he quotes the Maharsha. Imkein who have said Mu'at. It's just a little bit, and that little bit is not considered to be a serious mazik. But the problem is, the Gemara in Gittin compares Ma'arev to Dimua. And if Medamea is a mazik, so this also should be a mazik. Since when do we make cheshbonos a lot, a little, v'chule? Mikoma kom points at the Yoshua, Daina Kushim koma omedet. Kevin de plige sham ravu shmuel, shmuel svirle behedya menaseh chayno ma'arev, v'lo choshu l'kushe dahayno medamea, im kemalo l'rashi l'hachnis v'plukta, l'tchos b'yadayim divrei shmuel. I mean, what over here was, what forced Rashi to paint himself into this terrible corner that all the Rishonim will raise their arms with them, that the Maharsha will give this Dochak Teretz? Why did Rashi do this? Why didn't he simply say, like the Shulta Gibor, you learn our sugya, both like Rav and like Shmuel? So what does B'nai Yoshua answer? You saw B'nai Yoshua? What is the answer? He has a cheshbon. What's his cheshbon? According to Shmuel, what do we call Menasech when you mix them together? Ma'arev is what? Mamon or knas? It's a knas. It's a knas. Knas means d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Rabbanan. And what is Rabbi Chiya trying to teach us over here? Avos Nezikin. And what's the criteria of an av? It has to be d'oraisa. And that's why we had to get rid of Shmuel. We had to get rid of Shmuel because it can't fit into our sugya. Since according to Shmuel, it's a knas. And therefore, it doesn't fit in. Dimua is midoraisa, and this is midrabanan, because midoraisa we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel that really it could be sold, and there's very little loss. And those who want to say that yain b'yain aser is only going to be drabanan, and that's a knas, and a knas is only a drabanan. The problem with that, with the Pnei Yoshua's approach, is that the Gemara on Daf Hei Amud Aleph wants to say that the Rabbi Chiya added these as opposed to Rav Oshia. Why did Rav Oshia only have 13 and Rabbi Chiya had 24? Because he adds in Hezek Sheno Nikar, he adds in Knas, etc. So it's very hard to say that that's what pushed Rashi. Rashi knew the Gemara Daf Hey when he wrote his Perush on Daf Dalet. Right? He didn't write his Perush like we write. We learn something once and we write a Perush and we think we know it. Rashi learned and learned and learned and learned, and then he wrote his Perush. He wouldn't write something in Daf Dalet, which Lechora is contradicted on Daf Hey. So we're stuck. We're stuck with Rashi. So comes to the rescue the whole world of conceptual Achronim. Did you get to that, to the Shirei Harav? We'll stop over here. So you shouldn't be able to sleep until you figure it out. Okay? So the answer is found in three places. It's found in Rishimos Shiurim of Rav Reichman, that Rav Soloveitchik had an approach. It's found in the Kuntrasei Shiurim of Rav Gusman, that he had a very, very similar approach, although clearly he didn't see that the Rav said, but he came up with the same principle from a different source, very fascinatingly. Same principle from a different source. And the third, if you speak to anyone who learned with Rav Chassin also came up with it on his own, because he gave the shiurim before the Rishimos Shiurim of Baba Kama were printed, and he didn't quote the Rav, so he came up with it on his own as well. So we'll start with that. And then we will, what else do we have over here? We have to finish the Amud over here in terms of can Ganav and Gazlan be included in Shomer Chinam v'Hashoel? We have over there Rashi, Rashba, quotes a Ravid. We'll learn the Gemara until the two dots on the Hey Amud Aleph. We have all these little Tosfos. So, in other words, I'll give you a page of Maariv Makomos. I'd like next time, if possible, to get up to the two dots towards the end of Daf Hei Amud Aleph. In other words, to finish the Braisos of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia. Okay, so we'll just start. If it's complicated, just leave it. Well, I'll explain it next time. What the approach to understand Rashi would be within the Rishimos Shiurim. If I'm not mistaken, he divides it into two parts. The first part is enough. You don't have to continue beyond the first part. Just get the yisod down of the difference between Dimua and Menasech, even though both of them are mixing, but they're different worlds of mixing. And within the Kuntrasei Shiurim, it shouldn't blow you away, the length. He has at the beginning a synopsis of what he's writing, and you can follow the synopsis and sort of see where he coincides with what the Rav said. Or you can just, skip it and continue in terms of the Gemara. And okay? So we'll bring that to next time. We'll continue.
Yes? Can you assure saying that Rashi said it's not as it's Hezek